friends, and welcome to Silo Busting. I'm your host, Kenji Ross, a strategist at EPAM Continuum. Here at EPAM Continuum, we consider ourselves proud proponents of human-centered design. Our work takes humans, you know, the group that has the most to gain from our work, and deliberately places them at the center of the design. Now, I make this rather overwrought distinction because today on the podcast, we are talking about the tech topic on the tip of everyone's tongue, ChatGPT. The state of ChatGPT today is like skin-deep human-centered design. In this version of HCD, you take people's stated desires and design systems around them. Proper HCD, though, asks us to question underlying motivations, emotional responses, life context, none of which AI is currently particularly good at accommodating. In this episode of Silo Busting, Sandra Lachlan, EPAM's chief learning scientist, and Alexander Deening, senior director of research and insight for EMEA, dig into the big questions raised by ChatGPT and start to look at its commercial, practical applications. Can it replace expertise? What effects might it have on the way people learn? Can it at least change the way we work? Frankly, it's too early for answers. Instead, they consider the questions, moral, ethical, about the nature of work and our own intelligence, we should be asking ourselves. That's what this conversation is about, and that to me is perhaps the most exciting part of the conversations we're all having now. There's a moment in any truly transformative technology adoption where people stop and say, "Oh man, is this going to take my job?" This is shorthand for, "Will this usurp my humanity? What do I measure myself against if this thing can so easily do something in which I take pride?" And the answer is often for us to look inward to find the things that only we as humans can do and build them up. In doing so, maybe artificial intelligence can further organic intelligence. Can these tools push us to become the most human humans we can be?
Hey there, Sandra.
Hey, Alexandra. It's so nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. So, Sandra, you as the chief learning scientist at EPAM, and more specifically, your work as in client learning and talent enablement has been truly inspiring and even award-winning. And for that reason, I think we are both very thrilled to have this podcast together. But I do have to admit, I'm particularly excited about having you here today, since today we get to chat about probably the most hottest topic in tech right now, and that's a generative AI and ChatGPT. So it is a technology advancement that is very likely going to turn the world upside down. It's going to shake up the way we work. It's going to shake up the way to deliver services to our clients, all the way to change the way our clients work. And very certainly, it will sort of reshape the future of talent development / enablement, where you will play the pivotal role, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I would say it's not even that it will do it in the future. I think it's already starting. We're starting to see evidence of that now. Right. So this topic is like incredibly exciting. You know, I will admit that I was a little bit freaked out when I first saw it, but now I'm actually like really excited to be in the middle of it. I think you know, there's a lot of people out there who wish they could turn back the clock and just bury their heads in the sand and pretend that it doesn't exist. But generative AI is here, and we need to find ways to live with it and really to benefit from it. That said, it is raising a lot of questions for me. I think about ChatGPT really from three different perspectives, for my clients, for me and my practice as a consultant, and then for me as a learning scientist, thinking, you know, more broadly about education, not just now, but, you know, of my kids, how is this going to change their development toward expertise? So I'll kind of go through them a little bit one by one and just elaborate a little bit more. So for clients, I'm wondering like how it's going to impact them, especially in the space where I provide support, which is helping clients build their in-house technical data, digital and innovation capabilities. What is ChatGPT going to do? How is it going to help them do that in a more, you know, cost-effective and, you know, potentially be a better manner? I think about how it's going to, you know, change how they source talent, thinking about their broader talent strategies, mm-hmm. And what they want from an insourced and an outsourced perspective. And then, you know, the third piece of this, I guess, is, you know, thinking about especially executives. I think a lot of people, including me, are a little bit still back on my heels trying to really grasp what this will mean. And I think, you know, a lot of our executive clients in particular are asking these questions and asking for help figuring out, you know, how to maximize the positive impact, I guess, and also how to make a strong business case.
And I think hopefully you'll be giving them some answers today, right?
Well, I will do my best. I don't have all the answers, but I do have some thoughts, and I'd love to share those.
Very good. Perfect. Let's dive into those.
Great. So then before we do that, though, I want to make sure that we give our audience a little bit of context on generative AI and then ChatGPT, you know, more specifically. So Alexandra, would you kind of take that forward?
Oh, of course. Okay. I'll just quickly go through what the generative AI is, what the ChatGPT is. Why does it matter? Just to give a little bit of summary of why are we even talking about it? So first, generative AI in simple terms is the use of artificial intelligence, not just in a way which is analyzing data and acting on existing data, but it's actually creating something new. And one of the most talked about examples of this technology, it's the OpenAI's ChatGPT, which recently hit the public, and it's essentially a state-of-art AI-driven conversational chatbot that can really answer almost anything, and that's what drives people so crazy. It can even follow up on the questions, it can admit mistakes, it can challenge incorrect premises, and it really has taken the world by storm by how well it performs, and it had even everyone confused how by good it actually is. So it's very powerful and very impressive. Important thing to say, this is not the first time that someone has a go an AI chatbot. Microsoft tried a first go in 2016 already, but that time within the first 24 hours, Twitter users thought it rude, racist, and misogynistic language, and they just need to pull it away. Meta had the same experience last August, and it also went away. And the reason why the open AI chatbot ChatGPT is actually working is because it's employing the moderation API, when you can kind of act against breaking the policy like illegal or unsafe information. So it's still not 100% accurate. It's still not perfect, but it certainly impressed, and it impressed even people like Elon Musk, who consider it to be really scary good.
Yeah, I think scary good is a perfect descriptor. So, I'm wondering from your perspective, you know, we've had a lot of like really exciting things happening in the past few years, like crypto and NFT and the metaverse. And, you know, these things are still, the impacts are still being fully understood, and we're seeing things change as a result. Do you think that, you know, ChatGPT is going to be in that category?
I don't think like the hype surrounding the generative AI and ChatGPT is the same like the one of crypto NFT. Maybe the same magnitude of excitement, but the latter, the metaverse NFTs, crypto, that was very highly speculative, and the true value is yet to be realized. I'm not saying that there is no value there, but let's be honest, we've been just too busy selling monkeys pictures for millions of dollars, and we didn't manage yet to tap into the potential in education, in treating neurodegenerative diseases, and so on. So, you know, that's the speculation there. It's something which, but the hype is kind of, you know, it's a different question. When it comes to generative AI and ChatGPT, on the other hand, it's already delivering the tangible value. From like, we are an engineering company, so we have GitHub Copilot using OpenAI Codex to suggest the code for an entire functions for developers in real time. There are generative AI softwares like Midway, and they are generating artworks, very elaborated artworks, or even real like photographs of people that don't exist, having fun of parties that never really happened, you know. And all the way to this famous ChatGPT, it's writing marketing copy and web copy, and you can even ask it, can you make it resonate more with millennials, and it does it for you, all the way to being very accurate in diagnose of preterm patient and hypothetical scenarios, you know. And this thing is even passing MBAs and bar exams and even authoring a research paper. So it's already delivering a tangible value, and it's getting smarter day by day. And it's the capabilities of this technology that are growing day by day. So I wouldn't compare it with the last year metaverse NFT crypto hype.
I mean, I have to agree, like, you know, those things, I mean, I understand them and I appreciate them, but yeah, they seem so don't know, like they're not real yet. And ChatGPT is really very, very real. Like I actually was asked to write an article for a publication, and I put in it was a good search question, I think. And within, 30 seconds, it had come out with a full article. Now, I didn't love that article. I would certainly, I edited it very heavily, but the fact that it could do that was just really, it was stunning. And so I guess for me though, it answered the question of, would I put ChatGPT as an author on the paper? No, because I ended up rewriting the majority of it. Right. But what it did was it gave me an exciting first start. And, as a writer, you and I both know sometimes it's really much easier to edit something than to look at the blank cursor on a white page. So I guess for me, it was really interesting, but so it's not going to replace my job. I know that. But I do wonder, what do you think of this concept of, ChatGPT taking over the world, changing, replacing everyone, making us the servants of a grand master overlord. Like, tell me about your thoughts on that.
Well, I do understand why some people go this direction, because the ChatGPT ability to generate human-like written text can seduce you into thinking that it can do your job. But I don't subscribe to that. ChatGPT is a tool. It's an incredibly smart tool. It can be used for research, for business, and it's incredibly helpful, but it doesn't have a consciousness. It needs input from you to get you some output. And even this output still lacks the nuance of critical and ethical thinking. So this is how I would take it, and I always use it as a metaphor. Like some people put it as author or co-author on a research paper. It's just a tool, the same way like an artist who is creating a Photoshop graphic, he will not put a Photoshop as a co-author, a co-artist. I don't think this is something which is taking our jobs away. One thing which might be happening though, it might be reshuffling them. It might be reshuffling. There might be a labor market shift. And I always talk about the death of generalists when it comes to generative AI. So all this work, which is kind of very dull, very, how would I call it, repetitive, it doesn't really necessarily require a lot of specialism. Those people, unless they adjust or adapt, they might be losing the job, but again, there is a way how to actually teach them to leverage the generative AI to spark up their job. And most importantly, it will remove all those monotone, repetitive, dull tasks and really give us space to elaborate on our specialism. And I really feel like the generative AI, it's not going to be taking jobs for certainly specialists, and it's going to make them more competitive, more sharper. And the same way like a calculator, doesn't take the job away from mathematician, but it just complete his job. I think this is what generative AI will be doing with us if we use the tool effectively.
Yeah, I really like the example of the calculator. I was reading that when the calculator was first introduced, accountants were sure that their jobs were done, right? Because prior to that point, they were really focused on just the calculations as opposed to the analysis that we now understand that accountants provide. And so I tend to agree, it's scary now for some people, but I think, over time and hopefully relatively quickly, the roles that are more focused on summarizing, basic research or just getting kind of the frameworks mapped out for a more complex engagement, those jobs are going to evolve, and we don't quite know how at least I don't. But I do think that, we've seen disruptions like this through human history over and over and over again. The Gutenberg press is another great example of this. Bicycles, these are things that in the moment seemed terrifying. And over time, they really just became kind of not passe, but we learned how to use them, as you said, as tools. And I think that society has become better for it. And so I predict, at least my one prediction today, will be that society is going to adapt pretty quickly, and we're going to be better and more, hopefully more innovative and more, you know, nuanced in our thinking and our work as a result.
And I would maybe build on that. I agree, and I will build on that, that, you know, this adaptation needs to happen rather fast, and there needs to be certain system in it, or needs to be certain strategy in that. So we've been discussing yesterday about this example when I got hands on competitor response to RFP, and they've been talking about future of certain service. And they had the people, not specialists, generalists, driving research, and they spent 3 weeks conducting a research in certain area to provide a very elaborated response to the issuer of RFP. And there were certain mistakes, which was, of course, okay, because they were not specialists. But then the funny part was that I took those answers or those questions into ChatGPT, and what they did, I think it was like 3-4 people working 3 weeks, I get more elaborated and more complete and more accurate answers within 5 minutes. So what's going to be happening is that, you know, there will be natural push that it's not just us to adapt, because it's nice to adapt and it will make our job productive, but there will be also natural push for market. Clients and people will start to pay you as a provider or you as an employee for performing certain tasks, because they will be just automated better and done better by ChatGPT. So there will be also natural push for market.
Yeah, and I think that really comes to where I'm thinking about this from a couple of different perspectives. Like I mentioned the client perspective earlier, and that's a big one. And you know, if you employ a lot of people whose job it is essentially to compile information, yeah, like you're gonna need to both, you know, from a business perspective, leverage a better, faster AI to do that work. But then you also have to really think about how are you going to take these people and develop them to do work that can't be done by ChatGPT. And I think, you know, the examples that we've given today have shown that it is quite, you know, it can do a lot, but it can't do the work of experts, of specialists, as you called it. And, you know, this makes the burden, I suppose, on leaders of organizations even higher when it comes to really thinking about and supporting their employees to develop new capabilities. And that's, you know, it's a big thing that I'm thinking about. But I also think about this from the perspective of myself and my practice as consultants, right? Like, you know, I was just talking to my team this morning, and we've all been playing around with it. And you know, we want to get like an enterprise license, because it does such valuable things for us, and we can turn that value into value for customers. So when it comes to, you know, generating some, you know, some pre-sales materials or marketing language, ChatGPT can do that. And then we can edit it to make it more effective. It can also do that from a content development standpoint for, and I'll be clear here, for more basic commodity content, right? Like I think that's what ChatGPT excels in. It helps kind of summarize a lot of articles and thoughts into what is most common. And that has some benefits. There's a lot of downsides too, but there are benefits. And then, you know, instead of spending 2 weeks doing that, you know, we're going to take 2 days and we're going to edit it, add our nuances, add our point of view, clarify any misunderstandings. And we can pass that savings along to our customers. And I think that's really exciting, not just for me and my practice, but for consulting in general. You know, it's been a challenge for the industry. There's more competition, there's declining margins, clients are more and more, you know, they're less interested in the more generic answers, and they want to see specificity and really implementation. And so as I see it, you know, this is a tool, as you've been saying, it's a tool for consultants as well to help us shape our offerings, get more precise, and create, frankly, more value for our customers.
Absolutely. And this is how I see the tool that creates value. What I don't see it creates value, what I see that the danger might be, it's really this generalist masses and the junior people. Now, my question to you will be now, having this pool of specialists we are working with and kind of celebrating the generative AI as a tool, equally, I know that to become a specialist, you need to go to those tedious tasks of aggregating data. You know, you need to kind of go through a certain amount of dull work to sharpen yourself as a specialist. So meanwhile, I understand that right now what we need to do imminently is kind of adjust our offerings, and it will help us to be even more competitive. Second thing we need to do is actually help our people to start to embrace the generative AI, to really use it in a way which benefits them. What we're gonna be doing in the future? How are we gonna be shaping specialists of the future if they don't have to write anymore? If they don't have to do this dull task, which somehow still sharpen their mind, build their discipline? How are you gonna be creating researchers, consultants, coders, specialists without kind of having this growth trajectory in front of them?
I'll be frank. I think that is the thing that, as a learning scientist, you know, I struggle with the most. So there's something in my field called Bloom's taxonomy, right? And it's really kind of how you move from basic understanding to true expertise. And in order to kind of get to expertise, you have to go through these other levels of just fundamental basic understanding of things, comprehending the topics, being able to synthesize topics together, to analyze them. And then, like, you know, as you're going up the taxonomy, the ultimate is evaluate. And so, you know, I really struggle with this. What I've, you know, I've been, you know, of course, kind of following this in the education world. And what a lot of people are doing, which I really like as an assessment mechanism, is, you know, generating a response to a question, you know, through ChatGPT, and then giving this to students and having them essentially edit it to be more, to have a better voice, or to emphasize points differently, to really apply what they have learned, you know, in their class to make this general thing better and more specific. And that works, I think, certainly it works for younger students. I can see it working, you know, in many cases for high school and even college. But beyond that, I don't know. And I'm going to be just very honest. I really don't know. When I look back over my own kind of expertise trajectory, that slogging through, you know, reading so many things, going down rabbit holes, sitting and thinking about the connections between, you know, different topics or theories, that is really the basis for what I know and do now.
And that's what makes you expert, right?
Exactly. I don't know how we would create expertise without going through all those basic levels first. And I mean, maybe you have a better idea than I do. I'm going to ask you the same question. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I think there is one thing to watch and one thing to kind of keep in mind, something we don't have to worry immediately, but definitely think of in the future. And next to that, I think there is also additional, I will be just avoiding the question by shifting a little bit. the focus, there is actually multiple things to watch, you know, next to just how we're going to be shaping the experts, there is also, next to all excitement, there is also ethical questions, societal concerns such as this one. We need to understand those implications. We need to see how to avoid bias, misinformation. You know, one thing I like there is, for example, Microsoft, which is coming with Bing, sort of ChatGPT, well, next to the aggregated information in this kind of ChatGPT form, they also provide you sources. So we can then backtrack the sources and see, like, kind of judge yourself whether you want to accept the information or not. But in case this is not what people do, the misinformation will be something very, very strong. Privacy concern, and lastly, the job displacement, which we've been discussing previously. So I think next to big excitement and all the good things that it brings, there is a lot of things to watch. And I think the most imminent one is really just try to embrace the tool right now and keep an eye on everything which might be happening in the future. What do you think?
I think there are more issues, but those are the ones that are coming to mind, right? Especially the ones around misinformation. There's so much of it already, having it amplified. You know, I do genuinely worry about what's going to happen to society if we can't, you know, really begin to parse facts from fiction. And I do worry that ChatGPT might have the unintended consequence, like social media, I think, has. on creating echo chambers for things that are not true, but are very attractive for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And people don't like to think, you know, so if you show them something on a plate, cool. So we are running out of the time. So just for sake of summarizing this food for information, do we want to maybe kind of distill it into a couple of takeaways that the people need to walk away from?
Yes, happily. So, I mean, I think the first big one, generative AI is a huge game changer, and ignoring it, I mean, you could, but it's going to come at a very high price. We really need to embrace it and think about the future, not just as people versus AI, but people with AI and what they can do. It's a tool that our workforce needs to learn and use, and we need to find ways to help our clients and ourselves find the right balance, like really find the best use. I would say that, you know, adaptability is going to be really key, and that when clients or customers think about a talent strategy and not just enabling existing people, but really understanding what they should be insourcing and outsourcing and balancing in an optimal fashion, like ChatGPT needs to be and things like it need to be a really core consideration. I think, you know, we just kind of talked about some of the ethical and societal implications. There are going to be similar implications for organizations. You're going to have microcosms within companies, and leaders need to really be able to predict and then respond or even proactively address those issues. And, you know, I wish that we had more time to prepare for this, but we don't. It's here. It's now. And we need to start understanding it because people are using it. And we need to, as a society and as companies, really begin to not fight it, but understand it and embrace it.
Right. Amazing. Well, Sandra, thank you very much for amazing conversation. Thank you for joining us. For those who listen, for more information and to stay up to date on the latest developments on how to navigate those tricky waters of generative AI and ChatGPT, be sure to follow our EPAM blog. There will be much more coming from Sandra and other experts in this field. Thank you very much.
This has been Silo Busting, a podcast from EPAM Continuum. EPAM Continuum integrates business, experience, and technology consulting focused on accelerating breakthrough ideas into meaningful impact. Why do we do this? Because real opportunities aren't siloed. Thanks to Alexandra Deening and Sandra Lachlan for a thought-provoking conversation. Cheers to Kit Palalis, our sound engineer extraordinaire, for getting this podcast recorded. Applause to Ken Gordon, our tireless producer. I'm your host, Kenji Ross.